Tan and J-Man Show Nation, we are back with another episode of the Tan and J-Man Show. It is Monday, July 22nd. How you doing tonight, Tan-a-man?
Doing good, J-Man. Doing good. Thanks again to everybody who sent in the questions last week for episode 400. That was a lot of fun. So tonight, episode 401, kind of back to our normal original format.
You know, I'm sitting here wishing we had about 15 questions left over from last week.
I know.
Because this one could be a rough one to try to get an hour in. But, you know, we've done it in the past, as we always talk about the COVID.
We've done it in the past. Yeah, we're going to have to do it again, I'm sure, in the future. But it is kind of – we're in that period where there's just not a ton going on.
Yeah.
Next week, we'll be starting our college football conference predictions. So I think we're going to start with the ACC/Notre Dame. Next week, so looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm also looking forward to seeing if Florida State and Clemson leave the ACC, because who knows at this point. Maybe we'll know
by next week. I saw a few things on Twitter today, but I didn't really dive deep into it. So that's the latest rumor, that those two are exiting.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Well, where's the rumor they're going to go? Is it Big Ten? Is it Big 12? Is it?
Hey, you think the SEC wants to add two more schools?
SEC? Okay. I just don't know when enough's enough anymore. So
I know. It's getting – I hate it, for one. I'm a traditionalist of sorts, and I fear change. And the college landscape's nothing but change at this point. And it's honestly hard to follow at times. We'll see how – all these new schools do in the SEC and Big Ten and ACC, Big 12 this year. So,
well, eventually they're going to get to the point where there's like no more changes they can make.
Yeah.
Like, guys are getting paid now. Conferences are going to be like left at two or three here in a couple years than everybody else. I mean, they're going to get to the point where is what it is.
15 years from now, they'll have this brilliant idea. Hey, what if we move Oklahoma and Texas back to the Big 12? Yep. Along with Missouri and Texas A&M, we kick Arizona and Arizona State and those teams out. They can form their own conference out west, and then the only change they can really make at this point is to go back to what they were doing.
Yep.
I'm not a fan. You got some birdie bogey for me tonight?
I do. I do have some birdie or bogey for you tonight. Is MLB related? Coming off the All-Star break, I want to know what player holds the single season record for most home runs after the All-Star break. After the All-Star break.
Okay. Because I think Judge has it for before, if I'm not mistaken. Well, here, Bob.
I know he has the Yankees record for before.
I think he has the American League before, potentially. Okay. So, good question there, Tandem Man. I'll get it wrong, and we'll be back.
No, you won't. You're going to get birdie, and you're going to get two strokes up on me. So,
birdie or bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House. Arlington Public House is upscale cuisine and cocktails with a casual atmosphere, located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. Over the weekend, they had a bison burger, 6 ounce locally sourced seasoned bison bed of crispy romaine, topped with caramelized bourbon onions, Monterey cheddar, and Carolina gold barbecue sauce, served on a toasted potato bun with seasoned beer batter fries at Arlington Public House. Have you ever had bison?
I have. There's another restaurant in Rochester that I'm not going to name because they don't pay
for it.
No free ads. So, but I always enjoyed their bison burger. So I'm going to have to try one at Arlington. I can't tell a lot of difference between bison and beef. It's supposed to be healthier for you, I guess. So,
yes. My wife and I went to a restaurant on Saturday afternoon, and they specialized in bison, but I was too big of a chicken, and I chose beef, the beef burger instead.
I think you would like it, knowing how much you like meat. So.
Yeah. The waitress said it was a leaner cut, which means obviously less fat, and a little sweeter. So I don't think I would really notice anything as well. But Monday is also pizza night at Arlington Public House. They have dill pickle. They have margarita. They have pepperoni and supreme. I think they have pepperoni. I can't find it now. But it's pizza night as well. So go to Arlington Public House and check out their new summer menu and get some good grub. Get some good grub.
Every night's a good night for pizza night. So especially on Monday.
Yeah. Yeah. And my saying is, you know, even bad pizza is still pretty dang good.
So. Pretty dang good. You're right. One thing I do want to talk about right out of the gate, and I didn't put it in the descriptions because it just kind of blanked my mind, was the Open Championship that happened this weekend. It was the fourth and final major for the PGA Tour on the year. And Xander Schauffele, what a year this guy has had.
Yeah.
He went from zero majors coming into this year to exiting with two. Winning two out of the last three, won the PGA Championship back in May. Now he walks away at the Open Championship here in July. And the other two, he didn't fare too bad. In the Masters, the U.S. Open, he got top 10s in those. So pretty good year for Xander. Pretty good year for the American golfers. It's the first time, I believe, since 1982 that all four majors were won by Americans. You had Scottie Scheffler, Xander twice, and Bryson DeChambeau this year. But the Open Championship this weekend reminded me why it's one of my favorite tournaments to watch. Because when the weather gets bad, the scoring gets fun. It gets hectic, and it's who can survive mentally as much as anything else. So, it was fun to watch.
It seems like Xander coming into this year was always on those lists. You know, what non-major winner is going to be the next guy to actually get it done? It seems like once you get the monkey off your back, you can win multiple. Good for him. Are you a Schauffele? Are you a Xander fan?
I'm not, and either is my dad, and we both can't figure out why. We don't have any reason. It's just haven't been able to get into him much. I don't think he doesn't have a ton of personality, so that's probably why. But it's not one I guess I openly root against. But I don't root for him. I was rooting for a couple different guys yesterday for money purposes. I might have put a bet on a couple guys. Of course, it didn't pan out my way. But it wasn't a good week for me for my my favorite golfers. DeChambeau didn't make the cut. Fowler did, but he wasn't in contention. Mickelson did, but wasn't in contention.
He had to play really well Friday just to make the cut. Ricky did.
Yeah, he made a bomb on the 18th hole. To make the cut, and he needed to play good to get into the playoff. Unfortunately, or the FedEx Cup playoffs. Unfortunately, he didn't play well enough, so his season is done. But he also has kid number two, I think, is coming this week or next week. So his mind's probably elsewhere anyway. It was 2024 was the worst career year for Ricky Fowler, which was pretty disappointing for Ricky fans coming off a pretty decent 2023 that saw him get his first win since 2019. Make a Ryder Cup team. He had zero top 20s, let alone top 10s this year. Last year he had six.
Wow.
So I don't know what changes need to be made. I don't know enough.
His career kind of tanked when he tried to tinker with his swing, right? He got a new swing coach. Is that correct?
Yep. And then he finally got rid of him last year, went back to Butch Harmon, you know, then got that win. Things seemed to be kind of, you know, got a new caddy last year. Things kind of seemed to be back on track, but this year was a big old step backward. And I, you know, he's not getting younger. So
yeah,
we'll see. But Thad Mooney here on Facebook, J-Man versus Rory undefeated. Yeah. Rory didn't make the cut.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of turned into more of a running joke at this point rather than me actually thinking he can win. Because you know, back when I first started doing this, it was I don't know the first Rory book that I made, maybe 2018 or 19.
It would have been. I thought it was the 17 Masters.
It might have been, and that might have been when the curse started.
Which would be 32 in a row if that is the case.
Yeah, and the 1 week I wasn't on where you booked it, he almost won. Should have won.
U.S. Open. Yeah.
And so now here we are. 32 straight major losses, should say. Now it's really hard to win one. I get that.
It's 40 without the bucket. Well, I mean, it's 40 overall. It's been a decade now, officially a decade.
Yeah,
and it's so much in between his years now. I mean, he had four pretty quick right out of the gate, you know, into 2014, and you're like, man, he's got to get like probably at least eight. Maybe he'll get double digits.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, that's crazy. I don't know if he's ever going to get one.
I know. Especially the Masters, because that's the one of the, you know, to get the career Grand Slam. And he put so much pressure on himself for that one. I don't know.
Yeah. That's why I probably booked it, is to get that career Grand Slam.
Sure.
Like, you know what? I'm just going to keep doing it until he wins one. And here we are 7 years
later. Gotta stick with it now.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, he could not even be, you know, eligible for any of these tournaments anymore, and which I'm sure he'll always be eligible for. But how old is he? Is he about 38, 36?
No. 35? Yeah, he's more. Let's see. He's more. I think a little older than we are.
Okay.
Let's see. He is 35. Okay. He just turned 35 in May. So, I think Ricky's same age. Ricky will be 36, I think, in December. So, because I remember Ricky beat him for Rookie of the Year back in 2010, even though Rory had a tour victory that year and Ricky didn't. It was kind of weird. But Rory's, of course, had the better career. I'm not trying to argue that by any means. But it's amazing to see some of these guys like Jordan Spieth, too much success early. Now he's, you know, he was another one. Oh, he's got to win at least 8 majors or so.
I know.
He hasn't won one in a while. Justin Thomas won one a couple years ago, but he's kind of lost his game, even though he showed some glimpses that it's still there this week. He was the top 5 a couple different times, but didn't end up there.
Scotty, you know, he's the number one golfer in the world.
Yeah.
And he had one of the worst tee shots I've seen a pro have.
Oh, my God.
Which showed how bad the conditions were, for one. But it I'm sure, warmed a lot of amateur golfers' hearts that they are also human.
Oh, I was part of the Open that I was enjoying, was watching these guys screw up so bad. I mean, Rory was in the real thick, tall stuff at one time. He hit it 5 yards out of it. I'm like, that looks like me. And his shot to get there was like a 96-yard wedge that he hit 30 yards left. I mean, it was just pathetic for a pro. Tiger Woods, missed the cut.
You wouldn't know how often they showed him, though.
Right? No, they still show every shot of his. I'm sure it's frustrating and embarrassing for him at this point.
Probably.
He says his body feels better. I think if he wants to be, like, seriously competitive, which I don't think I personally don't think he can compete in majors anymore, he's going to have to play more than just in these 4 majors like he did this year. He's got to have to play in other tournaments next year, because if he expects to just show up at these 4 big-time events every year and compete, it's just not going to happen. I mean, he made the cut at the Masters. And then withdrew, if I remember correctly. But the other 3, he did not make the cut. So, yeah, he just shell of himself. It's too bad to see.
Yeah.
And, you know, a good friend of the show, Aaron Lynch, thinks he'll join the senior tour here when he turns 50. I don't. I just can't see him playing on the senior tour.
He has too much pride to play on the senior tour.
Exactly. Lynch thinks he wants to win the U.S. Senior Open. I don't think he could care less, but I don't know. He's got a lot of things going on. His league that was supposed to start this year, you know, that league that's going to be on Monday nights, when Monday Night Football's not on. It's like a simulator league type thing in stadiums.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be starting in 2025. It was supposed to start in 2024, but then that horrible storm, like, busted everything. So funny. I don't know why I'm laughing, but it like ripped up all the progress they made for it. So they had to rebuild it. So he's doing that. Of course, he's a spokesman for the PGA Tour with trying to get this agreement with the PIF. So he's got a lot on his plate. That's why he supposedly turned down the Ryder Cup captaincy for next year. Hmm. And it went to Keegan Bradley. So, Victor Hovland, I picked him to win the Open. He didn't make the cut. So I don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to this stuff either. Xander, he's another face of American golf now.
Yeah, how old is he?
He's younger than those guys. Let's see. He is – Xander Schauffele is 30.
Okay.
Yes, and he turned 30 in – oh, he'll be 31 in October. Okay. So just hitting his prime, really, for a golfer. Yeah. So we'll see come next year. I'm sure the part of the majors will be part of my bold predictions. I got the bold prediction wrong for major. I got 2 of them. I said Ricky Fowler would win a major. Of course, it didn't happen. And I said Liv would have 2 out of the 4 winners. They only had 1, Bryson DeChambeau. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
NFL training camps are starting this week for the most part. Few of the storylines are the quarterbacks who do not have contracts, or they do, they're under contract for this year, but they don't have an extension in place. And that is Jordan Love and Tua Tagovailoa. Sounds like Tua's going to be there, but it's starting to get a little nerve wracking that he's going to hold out. And Chris Greer, their GM, has been notoriously stingy when it comes to extending his guys. I wasn't worrying about it. And now here we are July and it's still not done.
Yeah.
And I saw Trevor Lawrence get $250 million and Jared Goff get over $200 million. Yeah. And I don't know what Greer's, you know, mind is at as far as what price he's worth. But again, you need to pay these quarterbacks. If you want a halfway decent quarterback, you got to pay him. I mean, Daniel Jones got all that money and he stinks.
Yeah.
So, we'll see on both Love and Tua.
Yeah, Jordan Love's not coming to camp until the deal gets done, sounds like.
And he could very easily be a one-hit wonder. So
he could be.
I 1,000% understand Green Bay's hesitance. And I also get Miami's hesitance at this point. I mean, he's had the hip injury in college and then all those concussions in year three. And he was healthy last year and he played really well. And he's been really he's played well under Mike McDaniel when he's healthy. I can 1,000% understand why they don't want to give him $200 million guaranteed.
Sure. But like you said, you got to pay these quarterbacks. You don't have at least a decent quarterback. You're not going to win.
Yeah.
Even a decent quarterback won't get it done for you at that time. Yeah. So
they might get you to the playoffs and you're not winning anything once you get there.
Right. So yeah, training camp, always look forward to it because it means football's right around the corner. But I just know, I don't know who it's going to be. Broncos have somebody get hurt. Every year in the first week, they have a, last 2 years has been Tim Patrick, and I hope to God for his sake it's not, because I want to see him back on the field. I don't know if he'll probably be a shell of himself, but somebody will go down for him, I'm sure, unfortunately. So we'll see.
Zach Wilson.
He might not make the team anyways. So they're not going to keep both.
He's starting.
They're not going to keep both him and Jarrett Stidham. They're not going to keep both of them. So. One of them's going to make it, one's not, and I don't know. And one might start. I don't know. I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know. Nothing surprises me anymore.
I don't want to get into the mind of Sean Payton, for one.
I don't think I want to either, to be honest. But training camps are starting. College football, a lot of the media days have been happening. I know SEC media days were like a week or two ago. Big Ten media days start tomorrow. It is now a 3-day event in Indianapolis instead of a 2-day event. Now. Yep. I know Ryan Walters – in Purdue or tomorrow. I don't know if Illinois is. And I don't know how they split up.
I think I saw Bielema's first. The first guy. Okay. What I read today.
I don't know how they split it up. I don't know the science behind that, but I don't think Walters will have any storylines or headlines coming out. He might make a crack at the I think it was Cleveland.com's rankings today that came out that Purdue was 18th, which I've seen him in 18th and other things. I've seen him 17th, 16th. I think 15th is the best I've seen him. So it didn't surprise me. But knowing him, he might make a crack at that. I don't know. I wouldn't. I'd keep my mouth shut, just use it as billboard or as bulletin board material. If that is such a thing anymore, I don't know. I don't know inside locker rooms what they use as motivation anymore.
Yeah.
In the world of NIL.
Preseason projections, as we've talked about a lot, mean absolutely none.
Well, especially now in the transfer portal.
Yeah. You don't know how good a team's going to be till week six a lot of times.
But we're still going to do them on the pod just because it gives us
confidence. Yes, we are. Sorry.
I did see like in the SEC, Oklahoma was 8th. And they're like, when's the last time Oklahoma's been 8th in the preseason conference rank? It's probably never.
Dang.
And I was like, Oklahoma 8th. And I looked at the teams. I'm like, they're going to be better. Okay. I mean, it's like in Mississippi State, you know, who's usually an okay program. They're second to last in the SEC now. And you look at it, it's like, yeah, I don't know. Besides Vanderbilt, who do you put behind them?
Forgot Oklahoma lost Gabriel to Oregon.
Oh, yeah. He's the preseason player of the year for the Big Ten.
Yeah. So, yeah, I saw a majority of people have picked – Ohio State, Oregon, and the Big Ten title game. Are they doing pods? I have no idea how it works. They're just doing 1 through 18
man.
In the top two.
Top two, go. Yep.
So that cements my not caring about Illinois football anymore because they got no shot. to do anything.
Oh, Purdue's got no shot. Indiana's got no shot. Illinois's got no shot. I would say Minnesota's got no shot.
I would say Rutgers, there's maybe four teams that have a shot going forward. I don't think Iowa can hang in there for much longer. I know they're supposed to be better. They can't be any worse offensively. Yeah. I just can't do it anymore with Illinois football.
Well, it's just changed my expectations. I mean, I've never had real high expectations for Purdue football. I've always tried to be, I mean, optimistic, but I've always tried to be a realist at the same time. And now I'm like, if they can make a bowl, if six wins is still going to be the qualification for a bowl, if they can make a bowl every year, I'm thrilled. Thrilled anymore. I mean, it used to be, you know, once in a while I wanted to eke out eight wins or maybe the occasional 9-win season somehow, which I've only seen twice in my lifetime. But now it's like with the schedules being as hard as they are and the league being as hard as it's going to be, it's like, nah, just somehow get six. And because I think and maybe I'll change my tune when we get to the Big Ten predictions here next month, but I think Purdue will be a better team than they were last year, and they're better on paper, but their record's probably going to be pretty similar.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited to go through the teams and rosters because I don't really I could name you maybe four quarterbacks in the Big Ten right now. It's pretty bad.
Well, what's helping me, and I'm assuming it's going to help you eventually, is College Football 25 that just came out last week for Xbox and PlayStation 5. Been playing that a bunch. Love it that the game's back. I think it's a great game. Sure, it has its frustrating points when you can't play defense on hard levels and your guys are roughing the kicker and roughing the punter all the time when you're about to get the ball back late in the fourth quarter with no points. That might have happened to me recently. That's why I'm venting. But I do like how it's a challenge. Mm-hmm. You just don't work everybody on the computer and you do lose games now and then. It does make it fun. The recruiting's fun. But what are your thoughts on the game so far?
10 out of 10. Of course, we've been waiting for 10 years, and it has exceeded expectations. You know, I got Madden a bunch, too, and then I stopped in about 2019 because it was just the same game every year.
Yeah.
And then I bought it again in 2023, hoping it'd be different, exact same as it was in 2019, 2018. Okay. And the graphics of this game are so much better. The player movement is significantly more realistic and better. The just intricate details they put into it, you can tell they've been working on this for a long time. Mm-hmm. As far as I love the dynamic crowd where if you're a bad team, you have less people in the stands.
Yep.
I love how you're able to call plays and then put them in your favorite plays. So you have those ready to go. So, cannot say enough great things about it. I wish I was better at it than I am. But I am 2-0 in our connected dynasty. So,
yes. We'll have to keep everybody up to date with that.
Yeah, beat a terrible UMass team by three on the last second field goal last time I played. So
for the 10 and J-Man Show Nation out there listening and watching this week, Josh, myself, and a couple of our other buddies decided to do a connected dynasty on the game. But we all have to, at least for season one, be in the MAC. Mm. So Josh is Toledo. I am Western Michigan. Our other buddies are Northern Illinois, Kent State, and Ball State.
Yeah,
I'm 1-1. I somehow went at Wisconsin and then got absolutely murdered at Ohio State. I think I play an FCS team next and then conference play starts. So
looking forward to that. That is a brutal start to the season. I'm sure you're very happy with 1-1.
Oh my gosh, I'm thrilled. I was already looking at, okay, let's at least beat this FCS team to have one win going into conference against, because I play three users. You're the only one I don't play.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to it. We'll have to keep everybody up to date as the season goes on.
The recruiting is a lot of fun. I miss that. It's not the same as, you know, going in free agency on Madden and signing players or making trades. It's more rewarding when a guy commits to you, even though, as stupid as it is to stay, because these are fictional people.
It's a lot of fun. I got another dynasty going, my Purdue dynasty. I'm in year two already. The portal's fun in the offseason too.
Oh, I'm excited for
you. Want to get guys in the portal because, guys jump in. Like, I signed Chad Pennington's son from Marshall.
Oh,
I signed him
away
from Marshall to be my backup. I forget his name.
Cole.
Yeah, that's great.
Is it Cole Pennington?
It's something with a C, I think. But he's my backup. And I didn't have too many guys leave, which was nice. I had a few backups leave. And then if your roster is over the limit going into the next year, you encourage people to leave, and they do leave.
You crane them, huh?
Yep. So I did it to a couple backups. Get out of here. So, but
you're not good enough for Western Michigan.
It feels like the transfer portal is harder than the other recruiting because, like, 1 week you throw stuff at a guy, then boom, he commits somewhere else. Yeah. It's like you got to get them within 1 week or you're not getting them. So,
it's a lot of fun. It's probably harder to get them out of – well, I guess you're at Purdue. We haven't got there yet, so I guess it'd be easier to get guys to Purdue than it would be at Western.
And I went 9-4, which was pretty good with a bowl win over Boise State. And like, being in the Big Ten, your conference prestige is A+. Mm-hmm. So if that's big for a recruit, even if you're Purdue, Indiana, Illinois, whoever, you pitch that at them all day long. That helps. Yeah. It can't hurt. So
Yeah.
So – but, yeah, if you are a gamer and you like sports games and you haven't played College Football 25, I encourage you to purchase it. I think you will not be disappointed.
It's funny how we all last week were like, nope, we're waiting until Friday. We're going to save that 30 bucks. And then Tanner's like, no, I couldn't do it.
I
jumped in and paid the extra 30 just to be able to play right away. And no regrets.
I fall into peer pressure easily. And it wasn't even peer pressure. It was social media. I'm seeing all these guys – posting reels and stuff playing. I'm like, this game looks awesome. Like, I really don't want to wait till Friday. I'm bored. And then, glad I bought it early. So, yep. Will I get Madden? I don't know. We'll wait and see. I do love playing with the rookies, and it is enticing when my team has a rookie quarterback. So,
yeah. And we'll hopefully see. This will make Madden better in the future. It'll at least give some sort of competition, even though it's not, NFL. Versus NFL.
It should make Madden better. It should make NBA 2K better because I feel like they've got lazy.
NBA Sports should
come out with a college basketball game too.
That would be awesome. I would scoop that up in a heartbeat.
Because that's been since 2011.
Was it 10? Okay.
I think it was the fall of 10 it came out.
We played. We were freshmen in college basketball. Out of that game too.
Yeah. Yeah,
and looking back, it was terrible. It was real bad. It was real bad.
I was mad when 2K lost the rights because 2K made better college games than EA Sports did.
Yeah,
but besides features like making 5'8" walk on Bobby Riddell, being able to dunk and stuff like that. Besides that, they made the game better. But so, well, you want to get educated today on some sporting events that have happened on July 22nd. Now, let's see here what we got. All right, Cricket Man. On this day in 1859, underarm slow right arm bowler V.E. Walker takes 10-74 in first innings for the All England Cricket 6 versus Surrey CCC at the Oval in London.
That is a legend right there.
He must have been pretty good because he was also on this day in 1865.
Dang. Build a statue of this guy.
On this day in 1912, the fifth summer modern Olympic Games closed in where?
When was it?
1912.
In the sixth modern Olympic Games?
Fifth.
Fifth. Is it in the U.S.?
No.
I have no idea.
Stockholm, Bangkok. Sweden.
Oh, okay.
Good guess. Let's see here. On this day, 1923, Washington Senators future Baseball Hall of Fame pitcher Walter Johnson became the first to reach 3,000 career strikeouts. He ended up with 3,508 for his career.
One of the greatest.
Well. On this day in 1962, who won the PGA Championship?
I'm going to go with old Nicholas.
Always a good guess. One of Nicholas's buddies, Gary Player of South Africa, won by one stroke over Bob Golby.
Bobby.
On this day in 1967, the Atlanta Braves established an MLB record for number of pitchers called upon in one inning. They used 5 in the ninth inning of a 5-4 defeat to the St. Louis Cardinals.
I do not miss those days. I know that's obviously the most, but the change in pitchers after one batter, we'll no longer see lefty specialists. I hate Rob Manfred, still do, but a few of his rule changes have been very good, and that is one. The 3-batter rule for pitchers has been fantastic, among other things.
a lot of Tour de France stuff on this day. Is that the one sporting event you think he would struggle with just the absolute most? Because I think I would.
Yeah, some of that terrain you're biking on. Yeah, I haven't ridden a bike in probably 10, 12, 13 years.
I'm right there with you.
I mean, I was obviously – I can without training wheels. But
that's getting clipped. That's getting clipped.
going through mountains and all that, I would really struggle with that. I'd struggle with – I mean, I can swim, but I mainly like to float more than I do swim.
Yeah.
I think I'd struggle with swimming and running. You know, the whole triathlon I would just be terrible at.
But the Tour de France is just bicycling.
It's just biking, and I think
I'd get in a wreck. There's no way, especially at the start with everybody starting so close. There's no way I would wipe out.
I think I'd have a easier time hitting a Paul Skeens fastball than I would trying to.
Man, I wish we could make that happen.
I do too. I'd like to face old Paul.
I still would. I think rather. Try to Tour de France then take a slant route over the middle against any NFL linebacker.
Yeah. Do you remember that? It was in Jackass. They were wearing the beer goggles and they threw a slant over the middle. And I forget who was hitting. Was it Jared Allen? Was just lighting them up over the middle. Yeah. I'm with you. I think I'd try the Tour de France over that.
Cause I might not survive a hit from an NFL linebacker. I'm a pretty small dude. So on this day in 1983, MLB California Angels, as they're known then, outfielder Brian Downing's error ends with his record streak at 244 games.
It's a pretty good streak there of airless baseball. I assume that's what that meant.
Yeah. Yeah. That was weird. That was worded really weird. On this day in 1984, who won the British Open?
84 British. I'm going to go Jack again.
Always a good guess. Seve Ballesteros of Spain won his second of three open titles by two shots from Bernard Lohner and Tom Watson. On this day in 1990, the 90th U.S. Golf Amateur Championship was won by a guy named Phil Mickelson.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah. Who won the British Open on this day in 1990?
I'm going to go with Payne Stewart.
Payne was runner-up.
Oh, shoot.
With Mark Minolti by five strokes to Nick Faudo. Oh. Nick Faudo won his second of three Open Championships. On this day in 1994, former NFL running back, broadcaster, and actor O.J. Simpson pled absolutely 100% not guilty of murder.
Yeah.
No alrighty. Comment. Yeah. All righty. Man, it was okay. Why? Oh, this is a weird one. On this day, 1994, the Mariners played the Red Sox as the home team in Fenway as the Kingdome was being repaired.
Oh, interesting.
On this day, 1997, Gray Maddux threw a complete game with just 76 pitches.
It was against the Cubs.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
It didn't say who it was against.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen highlights of that, and that ball was moving like a wiffle ball that day. It was absurd.
That's incredible.
Have you ever heard the stat? They're starting to actually count the stat, the Maddux. It is a complete game shutout with less than 100 pitches.
That's cool.
I like that. They're calling that the Maddux.
So who leads the league in that?
Couldn't tell you.
No. Probably not too many guys.
No, you don't see too many complete games anymore. Let alone ones under 100 pitches.
Who won the British Open on this day in 2001?
2000? I'm going to go Tiger.
Really good guess, but no. One of my all-time favorite golfers, David Duvall, won his only major title and by three strokes over Nicholas Fast of Sweden. And it was, I think, Duvall's about 13th or 14th career victory. He was number one in the world around that time. Yeah. Never won again.
He was on a heater for there for a while.
Yep. And then just never won again. And still plays senior tour events once in a while. He's more known. He's a commentator on the Golf Channel now, does a pretty good job with that. So
I wonder how you just lose it.
He did battle some injuries. He had a wrist injury that kind of derailed him, but I don't know. We could talk about golfers losing it. I don't know if many people lost the worth to David Duvall. Yeah. I mean, going from number one in the world to never winning again. Yeah. Who won the British Open on this day in 2007?
2007, I think I'm going to go Tiger again.
So Padraig Harrington beat Sergio Garcia by one in the four-hole aggregate playoff to claim his first major championship. He was the first Irishman to win the Open in 60 years. He'd come back the next year and win it again. So, and on this day in 2012, who won the British Open? Not a British Open.
Is that Adam Scott?
Adam Scott was the runner-up. He lost by one stroke to Ernie Els, who won his second Claret Jug.
Ernie Els was winning majors in 2010.
Young 12. 12, yeah. Yep. Yep. On this day in 2017, South African golfer Brandon Grace recorded the lowest round for a majors men's championship with a 62 in the third round at the British Open. That's since been tied by numerous guys. One more British Open question, I believe. Yeah, one more. Who won the British Open on this day in 2018?
I don't know. Don't even have a guess for you.
Francesco Molinari held off a pack of players, including Roy McIlroy and Justin Rose, to win by two. First Italian to win a major title. The only thing I remember about that is I remember Tiger had a lead for a second on the back nine. And social media was going nuts. And then, yeah, of course, didn't.
I vaguely remember watching that one.
On the day in 2018, Seattle basketball guard Sue Bird played her record 500th WNBA game for the Storm, as the Storm lost 87-74 to the Atlanta Dream. She finished with a career of 508 games for Seattle. And on this day in 2019, the NFL's Dallas Cowboys were named the most valuable sports team in the world, worth $5 billion. The Yankees were second at $4.6 billion. Real Madrid was third with $4.2 billion. Those numbers have changed a little bit the last 5 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I bet they're maybe double that now.
Yeah, yeah. So that's going to do it. A lot of events that happened on this day on July 22nd. And the On This Day segment is brought to you by Like It Is Every Week by Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs that fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of the recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Woodcrafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first sign order. Hey, it's almost the end of July. Time to start thinking about Christmas.
Yeah. I got to get to Labor Day first.
The stores already have Halloween stuff out, Josh.
I know. I saw that the other day.
Unbelievable.
Pretty depressing.
Unbelievable.
I have some pick six here for you of some six people that have been in the sports news here over the past week to 10 days, starting with Skip Bayless.
Oh, Skippy. Skipper. Yeah, he is not being brought back. I don't even remember what his show's called. What's the show called now?
Undisputed.
That sounds right. Undisputed. I knew it wasn't First Take anymore. Undisputed is not bringing him back. I hope nobody. I mean, he has plenty of money, so he doesn't need him to get another job. I guess I shouldn't say. I was going to say, I hope nobody signs him, because that's pretty mean to wish unemployment on anybody. But he is a jerk. He's been a jerk for years, and he just says stuff to try to get clicks and people to view his content.
So. Yeah, that's all it is anymore.
Yeah.
Ratings were terrible for his show ever since he left First Take. And he had a pretty good rapport with Shannon Sharp. And then obviously that went very sour, which Skip had a lot to do with that. Both guys had huge egos, but Skip, I don't know where Skip ends up. He's 72 years old. He doesn't seem like the type that can retire. Like, seems like he has to keep working.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting. Which actually brings me to my next one. Stephen A. Smith
gets paid a ton of money, just an absolute ton of money.
Yeah.
Another one I'm not a fan of, but I don't see him going anywhere anytime soon. I mean, he and Shannon have a show right now, Shannon Sharp, that I can't say I tune in, but I know a lot of people enjoy it.
Yeah. So. There were people on there kind of hyping up, bring Skip back with Stephen A and add him with Shannon. I don't think it would work with Shannon.
No.
Stephen A owes a lot of his career to Skip, honestly.
Sure.
And I know they had really a falling out, but They were at each other's throats a lot, and it started the stupid wave of guys just yelling at each other on TV. Yep. And they changed sports talk shows for, in my opinion, the worst.
And honestly, when the ISC Sports Network brought us on in March, they were looking for a talking head show. They didn't really have one at the time. And luckily you and me fit the fold. Now, do we yell at each other? No.
I can start. Five years later, I can start yelling at you.
We'll disagree with each other. And we've got passionate about a few things over the years. It's 7 years we've been doing this podcast, but we don't scream like Stephen A. and Shannon and Skip all do. So.
Yeah, that's exhausting. Diana Taurasi.
I don't know what she's in the news for. Did she do something?
No, she's just on the Olympic team at 42 years old, and they got absolutely waxed by the WNBA. By the WNBA, All-Stars.
Yeah. Well, you know, you should have put Caitlin Clark on your team. Not saying she would have made a difference, but she would have helped. Yep. No, Diane is one of the best women's basketball players of all time. But, I mean, it is impressive that she can still play at the level she does at 42. Heck, LeBron today, at the age of 40, did a dunk in the game. It's like, wow. I don't know. She's been outspoken against Caitlin Clark. She's one of the players that's been outspoken against her. So, which I just don't understand. Her and Angel Reese, like we hit on last week, are growing the game more than any females have ever in WNBA. So why don't y'all embrace it? I don't get it.
Yeah. Shaq Barrett, former Bronco.
Yeah, he was a good member of the Broncos Super Bowl 50 team. I thought he was going to have a nice little landing spot for him in Miami. I knew he was getting in the back end of his career, but, you know, after 9 years, he decided he was going to hang it up. But he led the league in sacks as a member of the Buccaneers not too long ago. So two-time Super Bowl champ, once with the Broncos, like you said, once with the Bucs. You know, I'll never forget. I don't know how much validity there was to this report, but during the Broncos season, they end up winning the Super Bowl 50 season. There was a rumor that the Browns were interested in shipping Joe Thomas to the Broncos for Shaq Barrett and a – maybe a second-round pick. I don't remember exactly. And the Broncos said no because they just thought that highly of Shaq. But, of course, then they didn't re-sign him, and he went to the Buccaneers. But, yeah, I always liked him out of Colorado State. One of those guys that wasn't a high draft pick by any means, but worked hard for what he got.
Really bad timing for the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Because they obviously, with Chubb and Phillips injury, they had to put them both on the PUP list.
Yeah.
So now they brought in Yannick Ngakoue and Emmanuel Ogba today. Obviously, they're familiar with Ogba, but they needed that veteran presence, and hopefully Phillips will be ready week one. It sounds like there's a decent chance he will be. Chubb probably won't be for a few weeks. Yeah. He'll probably be put on the short term IR, I imagine. Yeah. But can't fault the guy for wanting to spend more time.
No, you can't. And I mean, 9 years in the NFL, that's a pretty long time.
Teoscar Hernandez.
What?
Winner of the home run derby.
I figured that out after you said it. I'm like, he won the derby, didn't he?
Yeah, that the fact that he won the home run derby told you how little star power there was in it.
I didn't watch any of it.
I watched very, very little.
I used to love that event, man.
Me too.
It's too bad.
They changed the formatting, and I wish they'd go back to the 10 outs, you know.
Yep.
10 swing, or, yeah, you get 10 outs. Yeah. And hit as many homers as you can before you don't. He's had a really good career. He has over 150 career homers, played with the Blue Jays and Mariners, and now he's with the Astros. It's interesting for me. Story about him. I used to, when I lived in the Quad Cities, go to a lot of minor league baseball games because, you know, Cubs had all those guys coming up. I got to see, like, Javi and Wilson Contreras and Ian Happ and David Bode, Albert Almora in the minor league. So I went to a lot, and he happened to be in the Quad Cities when they're an Astros affiliate. And he's arguably had one of the top two careers out of those guys I saw, but he wasn't even really a prospect at that point. So
who was the American League game MVP? Cause I don't see any of that either.
He is number six on my pick six. Oh. That is Jaren Duran.
All right. So I don't know much about him. When you say Jaren Duran, I think of the band Duran Duran.
He's a Boston Red Sox he is one of only two players ever to have 30 doubles, 10 triples, 12, at least 10 homers, at least 20 stolen bases, through first 100 games of the season since Nap LaJoy. I think is how you pronounce his
name. I am very embarrassed right now. That tells you where my baseball fandom is right now when he's a member of my favorite team's rivals. He's having that good a year, and I never heard of him. Yeah. That's pretty bad.
In your defense, he had a solid year last year and was nothing the first 2 years of his career, but he's having the best year of his career.
I need to do a better job of keeping my finger on the pulse.
Nah, you're right. Yeah, all right. My finger is loosening from the pulse as the Cubs are flatlining here. So
I'll get the I got the next bumper ready, but I got to do the read first, and that's the Pick Six segment, which is brought to you by Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or a sales meeting in 2024, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years. That's right. That's 50 years of combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for a fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815.
Yes, sir. Baseball. All-star break. Boring, which is honestly, that played a role in me paying the extra $30 to get the college football game. Yeah. There's nothing on TV. We hit the all-star break, and trade deadline is a week from tomorrow. As that heats up, I got a little bit of a preview for you. Didn't prepare anything, but we did contender pretender a few weeks ago, and I think a lot of our contenders are staying the same, and a lot of our pretenders are staying the same. But as far as the Cubs go, the Cubs really needed to start off the second half hot. You know, in 2017, they were right around 500, a little under the All-Star break, and then they went on like a 9-game win streak right after the All-Star game and got back into contention. Of course, that team was really good coming off a World Series title, and they just kind of slumped through the first half. But this team has not been good enough. And they came out, you know, winning 5-7 in Baltimore, in St. Louis, feeling halfway decent. I think I said either on the show last week or on Twitter that I was cautiously optimistic heading forward. And they came out flat. Justin Steele, who'd been one of the best pitchers in the National League over the past 2 months, looked rusty. He hadn't pitched in about eight days, I think. And he looked bad. The offense was horrendous all weekend. They had a 20-inning scoreless drought that they broke through in the ninth inning yesterday and scored a run to tie the game and ended up winning the game. But they lost 2-3 to a team they're chasing. In the Arizona Diamondbacks, and they find themselves 3.5 out of a wild card spot, which doesn't seem that bad, but then you have to realize they have to jump 5 teams to get back in it. And that is so hard to do over just 2 months, you know, 2.5 months. So assuming this week goes poorly, I think they have to win at least 5 of 6, if not all 6 this week against the Brewers and then in Kansas City to really switch things a little bit in Jed Hoyer's mind, which unfortunately Jed is going to be the guy making those decisions. I've wanted him fired, as I've been very vocal about that here, really over the past 2.5 months. But there have been reports today.
I got it on the bumper for you, J-Man.
Fire Jed, fire Jed, fire Jed. I love it.
I made a mistake there.
I honestly need that bumper sticker. Fire Jet, hashtag Fire Jet.
Hey, maybe that should be on the TNJManShowStore.com.
And then we'd add it, and he's fired the next day. And, you know, I'd be okay with that. The problem with the Cubs is they don't really have anyone to sell. You don't have many expiring contracts. They can sell guys from the bullpen. You're not going to get much for those guys like Hector Neris, who's been on a nice little roll here, Mark Leiter Jr., veteran relievers, even a guy like Drew Smyth, it's not going to net you a whole lot as far as prospect goes. Their prize that could net them a pretty significant haul, but it would pretty much be punting the next 2 years, which hopefully Jed doesn't have that long of a leash, or I'm going to pull what little hair I have left out of my head, is Justin Steele. And there's reports that they're listening on Justin Steele, and they'd be stupid not to.
Yeah,
be
right.
Stupid not to is what I'm telling myself. But a lot of times when you hear they're listening, it means there's momentum building towards them potentially trading.
Where there's smoke, there's fire.
It's exactly right. you know, he's 29 years old, but he doesn't have many miles on those arms because he missed a year and a half in the minor leagues when he was young. So he had Tommy John surgery, hasn't thrown more than 170 innings in the big leagues in a season. So he's a very valuable guy. And he is your legitimate number one. He can be a number two on a really good team. And I think they would be colossally stupid to trade him away. Now, a couple other guys, Jameson Taillon, he has 2 years left on his deal. They've been mentioned to him. He has an ERA under three. He's been really good. He knows the AL East. They've been mentioned. He's been mentioned with the Yankees and Red Sox. And I think it'd be mainly a salary dump in a sense because he's owed, I think, $44 million over the next 2 years. And they want that flexibility in the offseason to spend none of it and just continue to line the Ricketts' pockets while the team continues to bask in mediocrity. And but other than that, for the Cubs, I did read a report that they are looking at the deadline, looking to help them in the future, like for next year. So I think they should buy. Don't buy expiring contracts. Go out and get a Vlad Jr. who can be under contract, who's under team control next year, and I think the year after, then sign him to an extension. That's the kind of deals they need to make, because you might not make playoffs next year. You can absolutely set yourself up here the next 2 months, starting with the trade deadline, to give yourself a very good chance to win the division next year. Because, again, the division's not that good. The Brewers, they overachieve every single year, and it's frustrating. They obviously do something very, very right, and Cubs thought they got that right when they hired Craig Counsell.
And maybe they did. Time will tell.
And, yes, I've saw some people blaming him, and the people that blame him are absolutely stupid. I think he's been fantastic in game for the most part. His bullpen management's been good. The way he mixes in his lineups has been really good, I think. And people are mad that he hasn't shown fire.
Has he had a reason to?
I get that. There's been some – on Friday, for one, there were a couple called strikes that did not go the Cubs' way. One was well below the knees to Christopher Morel for strike three. Wasn't even really close to where you can say, oh, it's close, you got to swing at it, that sort of stuff. And the guy rung him up on strike three with two guys on. They're down three in the eighth inning with one out. Had a potential big inning going. And he yelled from the dugout, but he could have gone out there and thrown his hat, done all that, which is another thing that we were mad about with Ross. He didn't do that much, but you don't see that a whole lot.
Yeah, Aaron Boone still does it.
Boone's just whiny. He whines and he gets kicked out of games.
Yeah.
And honestly, it doesn't help his team much. It might help his team with him being out of the game, honestly. But elsewhere around baseball, as far as trade deadline goes, Orioles are in the market for starting pitching. Yankees are always in the market. Their starting pitching has been terrible the past month and a half. Bullpen hasn't been that great. Their offense, they have two good hitters. That's about it at this point. Uh-huh. Red Sox need some pitching. They could use some offense. Cleveland got some – they have really good pitching. But as I said, every team in contention could use a starting pitcher. Let's be honest.
Right, right.
The most fascinating team, in my opinion, here at the deadline is the Pittsburgh Pirates. They sit here at 50-49. They are only a half game back from a playoff spot. And that's a team that needs to go out and get offense, and they have the farm system to go out and get some offense. Because, man, you do not want to face their top three pitchers in a playoff series. And Paul Skenes, Jared Jones, Mitch Keller, even a guy like Bailey Falter's had a good year. They can use some bullpen help as well. So they are a fascinating team to watch, and it'll be interesting to see if their general manager, I think it's Ben Charrington, who is a former Red Sox guy. At least he was in Pittsburgh. It doesn't tell me here,
you're going to have to quiz me one of these days on MLB managers. Cause I don't know if I can get 10 of them.
I don't know if I could get all of them. There's some guys I probably want to think about it. I couldn't name you the Blue Jays manager. I think Schneider, left name Schneider. Pirates, look out for them. They could be very good here going forward. I mean, this is what happens when you're bad for 8 years. You know, I mean, look at the Orioles. They were losing 110 games, and they have all these this talent now that they can trade.
That'll never happen to the Rockies, though.
No, there's really only two teams for sure out of it in the National League, and that's the Marlins, 29 games under .500, Rockies, 28 games under .500.
Yeah.
the Cubs and Reds, both very disappointing, thought they'd be better this year. And somehow the Cubs have jumped the Reds. The Reds got swept by a bad Nationals team over the weekend. And Cubs are no longer in last place for the first time in what feels like a long time. But White Sox are a fascinating team. They have Garrett Crochet and Luis Robert. And I guess you could still throw Eloy Jimenez in there. So they'll be a busy team come the trade deadline.
They won 30 games yet.
No, 27. They are 27-74, which is
that's just miserable.
That 47 games under 500.
Just miserable.
That is 47 games under 500.
Oh,
let's see if they've had some bad. They've had some bad luck. Their Pythagorean win loss record, when it does all this like analytics stuff, says they should be 30-71. So they've. Wow. Chris Getz is their general manager. He's a former bad utility player for the White Sox. Paul Janish, I did not know this, is their farm director. He's a former Reds terrible utility guy who our good friend Andrew Ryler used to call Soft J because his the J in his last name is silent.
But I thought maybe he was soft.
No, I don't know anything about that.
Don't worry, White Sox fans. Yeah, the Bears are going to win the Super Bowl. That's what Twitter tells me. So
yeah, I saw USA Today came out and had them win 9 games.
Okay, I could see 9-8.
Only had the Dolphins win an 8. So again, I'm trying not to be a hypocrite and get on.
I mean 9-8 would be a winning record. That's a step in the right direction, but like. Saying, though, not only playoffs, but Super Bowl. It's like, whoa.
The worst thing was the guy I heard say it was Rich Eisen.
Yeah, I know.
It's crazy.
He needs to go run more 40s.
He's like the most level-headed guy in the media, usually. And I don't know. I don't know if he's just trying to hype him up or what. But
I think a lot of media wants the Bears to be good because they're one of those teams when the Bears are good, it's better for the NFL.
I don't think that's accurate.
Yeah, well, you live around a bunch of them, so.
That is fair. As I said, the trade deadline a week from – somebody said it's July 30th this year, but it's always been the 31st or August. Every once in a while it's August 1st, but I'm going to look it up real quick. Trade deadline MLB. Maybe it is the 30th this year, and, of course, it's not telling me. It is July 30th, so this will be the J-Man's Bookie Prediction of the Week. We will see a guy that's been an all-star in one of the last two seasons get traded before next Monday's show. I think that'll be Vlad. I think Vlad's traded.
Any team predictions? This won't count for your bucket, but any team?
I'm hoping the Cubs grow a pair and go out and get a guy like that. Because they desperately need a guy like that.
Could the Pirates? Could the Pirates?
I think they could, and I think they'd be smart to do it because he could be a game changer for them. Not talking about Vlad, but the Braves are an interesting one. They have underachieved. They're still 10 games over, but they lost Ozzie Albies 6 to 8 weeks with a fractured wrist yesterday. So I know they signed Whit Merrifield, but could they call the Cubs about Nico Hoerner to be their second baseman? He's been a guy that's been mentioned in passing as a potential trade piece. J-Man's Book of Predictions of the Week brought to you by Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance Agent Travis Watching for life, home, auto, business, renters, workers' comp, and farm insurance. Contact Travis at 219-869-4561. His email is travis.watching@infb.com. Book it!
All right. Birdie or bogey time, J-Man. Baseball question, pretty straightforward. What player holds a single season or MLB record for most home runs after the All-Star game?
All right. If my first answer is wrong, that will be obviously my answer. But I want a second guess after that because I got two people in my head. The first guy is Mark McGwire. He's my guess.
You got a birdie. Mark McGwire with 37 in 1999.
99, huh? I was thinking 98. Okay, because Sosa was the other guy, but I know Sosa hit a ton in the first half.
Sosa hit 35 in 01, but H. Greenberg in 1938 hit 36 for the Tigers, and Albert Bell hit 36 in 95 for the then Indians.
Hank Greenberg was really good. Albert Bell wouldn't even been on my mind. He was too scary to even think about. But Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man show. All of a sudden, after being two strokes back of Tanner, I'm now a stroke. Now I'm two up. Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man show. We'll be back at her next Monday with our ACC Notre Dame prediction. Have a great week, everybody.